Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Rusty Quill presents Enthusiasm. Hello, friends and fans, and welcome to Enthusiasm, the show where we talk about a few of our favourite things. I am your host, Helen Gould, one of the best Rusty Quillers, and today we have an extra special piece of break content for you. It is Lowry's hot takes on all of the episodes that she wanted to talk about, but couldn't because she was just sitting in the call being the producer. Hey, Lowry.
Hello.
What are your pronouns and what do you do?
Hello, I am Lowry Ann Davis, she, her, and I produce Enthusiasm and I sit quietly in the recordings just desperately trying to or wanting to join in with the conversations, but not being able to.
But today is your time.
Today is my time. I don't know how hot my takes are actually going to be.
You did forget something. You are also in Chapter and Multiverse, aren't you?
I am. Yes. Yeah, it's really exciting. And we've got fan art.
Yes, you have fan art already.
So yeah. And so are you, in fact. Vampire Cowboys.
Oh, yes, yes. For a minute there, I was like, no, I'm not in the main campaign for ages. I was like, oh, God, did I forget a recording?
I just haven't been turning up.
All right. So, what I have here is a list of all of the season 2 episodes.
Yes.
I'm going to fire them at you and you tell me your opinions on them.
Good.
Okay?
Yeah.
Here we go. First one, rom-coms. Tell me about your thoughts.
I love the music from Love Actually. Love it. Great soundtrack. And because of Enthusiasm, watched His Girl Friday.
Oh, how was that?
Really, really good. Highly recommend. Oh. Really fun. And it's, yeah, is it black and white? I can't even remember if it's black and white. That's how much it didn't bother me if it is black and white. Yeah, next topic. That's my hot take.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we're speeding.
Coming at you real hot.
Crafting.
Oh, people are so talented and creative.
They are. Yeah. They really are. Do you not knit or anything?
Nothing. I did. Oh, actually, I did. Once upon a time, I used to knit, but I don't think I ever progressed past scarves, which, oh, you know, it's pretty basic, isn't it?
I wouldn't know. I haven't even dared to try.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've even completed a scarf, actually. Oh. But yeah, I just don't have the patience for things like that, which is sad. So I have a lot of admiration for people who do and who practice their crafts and get good at them. Like the things that Reese and Jess were showing us were amazing.
It was great. Yeah. Like the I still can't get over that hat.
Oh my gosh, it was beautiful. Beautiful. Chef's kiss. The things like fan art as well. Mm. Just I do sometimes like colour in abstract shapes. I draw abstract shapes and then colour them in just as like a calming activity. So I guess maybe that's the closest I get to crafting.
I've got all of those, like those therapeutic colouring books for adults. Yeah. Yes, I've got
but
some
I
of
those.
I
quite like drawing like with a Sharpie, like a thick outline of different shapes, and then I just colour them in. I've got one on my fridge that I was really proud of.
Aww. Just
adorable.
That's really nice. Stage magic.
This was an episode that I did not think, I was like, what are you going to talk about? Like, but then the more I was listening to people talk about it, I was like, oh yeah, I guess I have watched a lot. Like I'd kind of forgotten that, you know, Paul Daniels was a thing. Mm. And I remember, I'm pretty sure it was the Paul Daniels show or a show that he did, watching it on TV. And it, this particular trick is the reason that I still have trouble sleeping on my back, even to this day. I think I must have been like under 8. I'm going to venture I was about 6. And there's a trick where Debbie McGee, or I assume it was Debbie McGee, was lying on her back on a table and there was this huge saw swinging above her, like cutting her in half.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And that traumatized me and I was too afraid to sleep on my back for years and I still don't really feel comfortable doing it. Like I feel quite vulnerable. So is that a hot take or is that just a story? I don't know.
I mean, they don't have to be, they don't all have to be hot takes. This is
they don't
just
have to be piping and fresh.
Yeah. I mean, this is just like to give the vibe of what this episode is going to be like.
True, true.
Ooh, mythology.
Oh, this was one that I really wanted to talk in, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I always, like, who isn't fascinated by, like, Greek and Roman mythology and gods and things like that. But what I really wanted to talk about were the Welsh mythology, the Mabinogion.
Tell me about that. I've never heard of it.
Oh my gosh. So I think I'm 99% sure that the Mabinogion, the book that was found of them, is the oldest written, it can't be the oldest written text of Britain ever, but I think it's like the oldest written like stories, basically, like fiction book, something like that. It was like 12th century that they found the earliest version of it. And obviously there were oral tales before that. Yeah, we grew up learning about them in school and like we'd go and see theatre versions of them and like TV shows and like Welsh language TV shows. And it's all, it's got quite a Arthurian feel to it.
Will you tell me one?
Yeah. So my favourite one, so the way they work, there's like four branches and it's, they're following lots of kind of the similar people overlap through them all. And there's a magic king called Math, who isn't necessarily a good person. And then there's another magician who I've always kind of thought of as Merlin, though that might just be me, called Gwydion. There's a man called Llei, and his mum is like evil. I don't want to say evil, like she's, you know, she's not treated well, but she's also magic. And she curses her son so that he will never have a name. And she's, so oh, Gwydion no. is her brother. I'm pretty sure it's Gwydion who's her brother. And he tricks her into naming him. So then she curses him to say, you will never bear arms. And Gwydion tricks her into giving Llei arms. Not the appendages. Not the limbs. Like a sword.
A sword.
And then the third one, she curses him that he will never have a human wife. And this is where my favourite story begins. Oh. It's Blodeuwedd, which actually is the name of my character in Chapter
yes,
Multiverse.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Not that I'm trying to draw a parallel between that Blodeuwedd and Blodeuwedd in Chapter. Genuinely, I'm not. But Gwydion and Math, I think, make clay a wife out of flowers, like three different types of flowers. And aww, she's called Blodeuwedd. And Blodeuwedd means, like, I don't know if it's flower woman, but Blodau is Welsh for flowers.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's kind of, this kind of reminds me of a bit of an Arthurian feel, because it's like the whole Guinevere thing. So like, she's Clay's wife, but she falls in love with someone else. Gronwy? I don't know. But basically, Clay can only be killed in a certain way. Like, it's a really specific, like, I think the spear has to be made for every day for a year or something. And he has to be standing with one foot on a water thing and one foot on a goat or something like that. And she basically, like, convinces him to tell her exactly how he can be killed. And then they kill him.
Oh,
and then, as punishment, Gwydion, the magician, turns her into an owl and she flies off. I don't know why it's my favourite, because it doesn't end great for her.
I really like it when myths end in such a weird way.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, you get turned into an owl or a tree, yeah, or you fly away in a chariot pulled by dragons.
I don't know if it's just the one that maybe I knew best as a child.
Mm.
And like, my mum, as part of her, she studied Welsh in university, and as part of that, she translated it into English. So I remember like reading it in English in my mum's handwriting. So maybe it had like some, aww, like a connection there as well.
That's a lovely connection.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's my favourite. That's the one that I was like, oh, I want to talk about this so much.
Right, the next one was musicals, which you were in.
I was in. Did we mention Hadestown? If not, go see Hadestown. It's fantastic. And that's all I have to say about that. Otherwise, I'll talk for an hour.
Okay. Style.
Oh, gosh, I wish I had some. I think my style is very much 90s. I never left the 90s. But apparently that's coming back round again. So
it is. It is. All of it is, like, as we know, fashion is just a circle.
Or a spiral, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
That implies going in. What's the name of one that just keeps going?
A wheel.
Yeah, I guess. All right. Yes.
Oh, fashion is a wheel. Period drama.
So first of all, that makes me think of Poirot, which I adore.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I love. And I guess, does that count as a period drama? I mean, it's 20s, so I guess it...
It's from a particular period, but I think it would it's one of those things where it would be tagged with period drama and murder mysteries,
yeah,
and like crime,
yeah,
thriller, probably.
Like, I love Jane Austen as well. And I did watch some of Downton Abbey and enjoyed it. And actually, one of my favourite films is Gosford Park. I don't know if you've seen
that. That's the one where there's... No, wait. Yeah, there is a murder.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I love that film.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I think that's great.
The lifestyle that the rich people in those shows lead that is so enticing isn't quite right, but like so seductive, right? Mm. Where you're like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to just ride my horse all day and then like get home and dinner's there and I can have whatever I like. And I mean, and in reality it's horrible, right? Because someone else is doing all of that and it's not okay.
Yeah.
So I have that troubling feeling, but there is something very seductive about it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with like enjoying the idea of luxury.
Yeah,
it's just in our world that comes at the expense of lots of other people.
Yeah.
Like just intrinsically tied to oppression.
Yeah.
So that's why it feels weird.
Yeah, for sure. So,
but inherently, I think we should all be able to access luxuries if we want them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, we should all be able to just ride our horses all day.
Yes, a horse for everyone.
Yes.
That's my political stance.
And lots of free time. I love it. Yes.
Yes.
Next topic.
Graphic novels.
Oh no, I have no notes for this one.
Oh.
What do I think about graphic novels? I think graphic novels just seem really cool.
Mm.
And I did agree with the take of what's the difference between a graphic novel and a comic, and like one of the takes was, it's almost like a snobbery of, yeah, but this is a graphic novel.
Yeah, I think Ben said that.
Yeah, graphic novel, yeah. Not a comic. And I can see that. Yeah, I don't know that I've read any.
Did you never read The Crow?
No.
Or The Sandman?
Got close to reading Sandman, but never did.
Watchmen.
Oh, same with Watchmen. It's like, because I've got quite a lot of comics, like, but it's always something, I think I've always like low-key not felt cool enough for them.
Oh!
I mean, I'm over that. I'm not, like, anyone can read them, right? It's fine.
Yes! And you're absolutely very cool.
Thank you. In my 90s gear, watching Poirot.
Yes! These are all extremely cool things.
Yes, they are!
Okay. The Witcher.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I know you've got opinions on The Witcher.
Yeah, yeah. Hot takes. It's not that hot a take, really. I mean, first, I'll start with the not horny bit, where listening to the episode really made me want to play the game. Actually, I found that a lot with Enthusiasm. I guess it's listening to people talk enthusiastically about things they love, right? It makes you go, oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to partake in that. That sounds really fun. My only interaction with The Witcher has been the TV show. First time I watched it through, my friend... Basically, she's like, you're watching this because of Henry Cavill, aren't you? And I, hand on heart, genuinely was like, believed that I wasn't. I was like, no, I'm really not. And I am into fantasy. Like, really, really, I'm not. And then on my second watch through, I was like, oh, no, I'm absolutely here for HC.
Yeah.
Like, gosh. He looks very good in a blonde wig and a little bit dirty, doesn't he?
What's that phrase someone invented, that he dirties up well instead
dirties
of cleans up
well? Yeah, he really does.
Like Viggo Mortensen in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and then at the end when he's the king and he's all clean and he's had a haircut and he's got a beard, I'm like, no, Viggo, we want dirty.
I want you slathered in mud.
Yeah, I want the stubble, not a neat beard. Come on,
blood all over you.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, and that is exactly how you could describe Henry Cavill in The Witcher, right?
Yes.
Rugged with blood all over him.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah.
And he's got cool eyes.
He does have cool eyes. Which is always a very striking looking person.
Yes, yeah. Mm. My thing always with these kind of shows is that I'm not generally attracted to the actor unless I find out something about the personality and I think that they're like a cool person. I'm always attracted to the character.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So like Henry Cavill actually doesn't do that much to me, but Geralt really does.
I mean, you hear the difference in the way you say the names. yeah, I see that. Interesting. I think I agree with you.
It's because personality is so important to me, I think.
That's very true. I do like Henry Cavill as, I haven't seen Mission Impossible, but I have seen the trailer where he does that punch thing. And I was like, oh gosh, that's genuinely making me want to watch the movie. And I've never watched a Mission Impossible movie in my life. Like, all right.
Oh, how they put it, where he reloads his arms.
Yes, that's exactly what he's doing, isn't it? I love it. Oh. But yeah, maybe you're right. No, I fall for the act. Like Florence Pugh in... Hawkeye, and I was like, oh, I'm in. Oh, God.
I still haven't seen Hawkeye. I should. And I'm behind on Moon Knight. Oh, I'm such a bad Marvel fan.
Oh, same here.
Right. Singing and vocal. You do a lot of singing.
I do.
Give me a text on singing.
I do. Definitely really wanted, was desperate to join in with this one. But it was just lovely listening to everyone be so knowledgeable and generally agreed with everything people were saying. Like, I think it was Beth who said, when you asked, was it what makes a good singer, I think was the question, and how you can really enjoy listening to someone be technically perfect and, you know, you're arguably technically perfect and just be really precise and really skilled, but also someone who gets the emotion across without all that technique is equally powerful. So like, I was trying to think of two examples, and I went to see Lucia de Lammermoor, I never know how to pronounce that, with my gran, which is an opera. There's a famous scene, aria, which I don't know how long, is it like 9 minutes long or something ridiculous? But the woman, I tried to look up her name, the person who we saw, and I couldn't find her anywhere. But I remember looking her up at the time, and she had like a PhD in singing.
Oh,
like genuinely
wow.
had a PhD in singing. She was like astonishing, like so beautiful. Like I was in tears watching her, like absolutely, she had me. But one of my other favourite renditions of a song is Sinead O'Connor singing My Man's Gone Now. Have you heard her sing that?
No.
Oh my God. I was a teenager when I heard it, and it was like, you know, when you get exposed to something and you can't believe how good it is,
mm-hmm.
and you just want to keep experiencing it, like,
yes,
oh, because yeah. that song is, it's from a Gershwin opera, so it's usually sung very like operatically, and she just, you can hear the pain in her voice through the whole mm-hmm. thing. Like, she doesn't sing it operatically at all. I highly recommend going to listen to it. It's,
I will,
oh, so good. I'm gonna have to go and listen to it after this again, actually. I think I haven't heard it for a while. Yeah, so that's my take on that.
One of my interesting, like one of my similar things is Wild is the Wind.
Ooh.
Which is done by Nina Simone and David Bowie.
Mm.
As in like they both have their separate versions, not they sung it together.
I was gonna say that's
I know, can you imagine?
Combo.
But like, so Nina Simone's came first and then yeah. Bowie did one, I think. And they're just so good and in such different ways. Like,
yeah,
yeah, I just, yeah, it's cool.
Ooh, I look
singing
that
is cool.
I love a bit of Nina Simone.
Sci-fi films.
Oh my gosh, I watched Alien the other night because of Enthusiasm.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's absolutely great.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm really glad that it stands up.
Yeah, so good, actually. And am I right that Alien 2 is good?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to watch Alien 2 as well. What about the other ones? Are they worth watching?
They start to go downhill. And then the recent ones, Prometheus and Covenant. I respect them for what they're trying to do, but I'm not sure they succeed.
Maybe I should watch all of those and then watch Alien 2. Oh, I guess it's just spoilers. Yeah. Maybe I'll just stop at Alien 2.
That's what I would recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. There we are. That's my hot take. That's the only sci-fi film that exists for me. Alien.
Fantasy books.
Yeah, that's so my genre.
Mm.
Those are the only kinds of books that I find I can consistently finish. I've got
really?
Quite a short attention span. Yeah. It makes me really sad because when I was a child, I read, like, I would be walking around with a book in my hand constantly.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. And especially through lockdown, I found like I've started so many books and then just couldn't finish them. But and I was trying to be like expand my horizons then, I guess, and read different kinds of books. And in the end, just so that I could finish one, I was like, right, I'm just going to go back to fantasy and finish a book so that I've kind of got over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Terry Pratchett. Jasper Ford is someone I really like. I don't know if you've ever read any of his.
No.
Ooh, it's really good. He writes about the book world, as in people can go into books.
Ooh.
But the reason I read Jane Eyre is because of a lot happens in Jane Eyre in some of Jasper Ford's novels.
I see.
Or the first one. Yeah, I don't know if I've got much else to add to that.
Cool. In which case, Star Wars.
Right. I don't like it.
Just
I think
don't like
this
it.
Is going to be the hottest take. I don't like it. I've tried twice. One of my best, my dearest friends loves Star Wars. And I've sat down with her. I don't know. I am willing to try again. I think one of the reasons, actually, the main reason I didn't like it is that I f***ing hate Han Solo. That's Harrison Ford's character, right?
Han Solo is Harrison Ford's character,
yeah.
Yes.
I hate him.
He is annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she says, I love you, and he says, I know, I was like, f*** off. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm not taking it again. That needs to be bleeped because that's the level of hatred I have. Just get in the sea.
Yeah.
And that, I think he's quite a central character, right? So...
Yes.
I just couldn't get on board with him. I'd be interested to try the new ones. I wonder if I'd enjoy them more.
I mean...
The look in your face tells me maybe not.
Did you not see the reaction to Rise of Skywalker, the last...
Yeah, that was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think as Sasha put it, it united the Star Wars fandom. Yeah.
Okay, so by the new... But wasn't Rogue One good?
Rogue One, absolutely. You should absolutely watch that. I think you will like
and
that.
And also, isn't there a really, really good TV series as well? Mandalorian?
Yes, The Mandalorian is apparently really good.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anyone say that it's bad.
Oh, there's enough content out there for me to watch other things. Like, maybe I'll try it a third time. And if it sticks, great. And if not, that's okay. I don't have to love all the things.
That's true. Like, I was in an interesting place in that episode because I really like the concept of Star Wars. And I like the fact that there's so much different lore and it's just like a complete tangled mess of different kinds of canons and stories and stuff. So I'm really interested and fascinated by that. But the films, the main films themselves, I can give or take.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really speak to me.
And I wonder if it is like one of those things that if you see when you're young and you love it, I guess if nostalgia hooks you into it.
Because the thing is, I saw Lord of the Rings before I saw the Star Wars things. Mm. And I've always said that was the trilogy that claimed me. Yeah. I feel like I didn't have room for Star Wars.
Same,
after Lord
actually,
of the Rings.
Yeah. Yeah. And sci-fi has never been like one of my favourite genres anyway. Which I know is potentially a controversial thing to say because there are so many different types of sci-fi, as was discussed in the sci-fi. And like,
yeah.
But yeah.
It's fine. Don't worry. Instruments. I don't know if you play any instruments, actually.
I do, but I haven't practiced for so long can't really. So I play piano. I got to like grade 5 piano, but when I was about 13 and then never practiced. So like, I think there are like 2 pieces I can still play because I'll go back to them now and then. I wonder if it's because I had to play all the classical things. And there were, like, I remember there was like 1 piece in, I think it was my grade 4, that I loved. So I liked practicing that. That was great. But the other ones, I was like, I don't really care about these. Like, I don't like these as pieces of music. Mm. And actually, something that I asked for Christmas just gone was a piece from the Love Actually soundtrack, because there's the Glasgow theme, I think it's called, which is just so pretty. And I think it sounds quite simple. And I was like, that might be quite a nice way to get back into it. So we'll see.
I wonder if it's one of those things where, like, if you'd done, like, specifically, like, jazz piano or something like that, you would have kept it up.
Yeah. Like, actually, thinking about it, I did have a Disney book, piano book, that I loved. So I used to, instead of practicing my pieces, I would just play Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid over and over again and sing that. And like, I got quite good at playing that. And my mum probably, I mean, obviously she could hear what I was playing when I was supposed to be practicing, but she was probably like, well, you know, she's having fun. And I was.
Ooh, the next one, the collectibles and miniatures episode. I don't know if you have any little figurines or anything like that.
No, I don't. I collected coins briefly as a child.
Really?
And I actually don't think I can claim that, because actually what happened, I think, is I just found a jar of old coins in my grandparents' house. And then I was like, I collect coins, and then did nothing about it. So actually, I just had a jar of coins, I think is what I'm saying. And until I told you that then, that has always been something I've believed about myself, is that I collected coins when I was younger. But no, I don't think I did. Something that struck me listening to Chris and Grant talking, and that I've always thought, really, again, the patience required to, like, the detail that Chris was talking about, like, oh my gosh.
It was incredible. And I don't know if this will be like on the Patreon or something, but he did hold up one of his models up to the camera and we all went ooh and ah.
Yeah, I remember that I was so detailed.
Like, yes.
And I love that for them, that they find like peace and tranquility and calm, and that in doing that, I just cannot imagine. Oh, it makes me sad for myself that I don't have that level of... I mean, I'm fine. But like, it's like, oh, I wish I had that, well, yeah, that level of dedication and patience to something small that I loved.
Well, look, if we were all the same, the world would be very boring.
This is true. I do more big physical things, so that's fine.
Yeah, you can do that instead.
Yeah.
Ooh, anime.
I haven't watched any anime, I don't think. And it's always something that's been on my periphery that I've thought I'd probably enjoy that, but I've never got around to reading or watching. I think I'm going to have to go back and listen to the anime episode and check out some of the recommendations. Cause
yeah, I mean, the incredibly hot take that Alex left us with, I think, was that if you've never seen any anime before, ever, you should watch Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
And I would recommend that, actually, for you, Lori, because the episodes, they're not very long at all. They're roughly 20 minutes, but they go really fast.
Yeah, that's quite short.
Yes, it is. And it's really well-crafted story.
Yeah, maybe I should try that then.
Give it a go.
Yeah.
I think it's just because it's technically not Japanese. That's why it's like heresy.
Yeah.
Does I start there? Oh, X-Files.
Yeah. I think another one that I started watching, a combination of because I got Disney Plus and it's on there, and it's been on my radar for so long. And I was like, let me check this out. And I really loved it. I really, really got into it. And then I hit an episode, I think I may have said this to you before, where I was like, I can't push past this. Where I think Mulder is like sent in to a hostage situation as the hostage negotiation man. And I was like, no! What? He's got no...
That's such a bad decision.
No training. I don't know why that is where I was like, I cannot find. There's a man who can like slide through drains and like sleeps for 30 years and comes out and eats your liver. Yeah, I can take that. No. So I don't know. Maybe I'll just... I'm trying to not be a completionist to the point that it's detrimental to me. And I think me not watching the rest of X-Files just because I don't like that episode and can't push through that would be silly. So I'm just going to assume it all turned out okay and move on to the next one, I think. Because I'm really enjoying it. Really sad to hear that they never get together.
Well, I don't think that's what we said. I think what we said was it's complicated.
Okay, that is interesting, I guess. Yeah.
I think it's sort of canon that they're together, but it's also sort of not. Yeah, just it's complicated, I think, was the conclusion.
That kind of show isn't particularly, like, I'm not a massive horror fan, not a massive sci-fi fan. Like, or, you know, I wouldn't typically describe myself as those things. Obviously, it's more nuanced, as we have discussed at length. But I think it must be their characters and their relationship that keeps me hooked, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a very good dynamic.
And actually, thinking about it, that is an episode where they're not together and it's just Mulder being something he's completely not qualified to do. So
maybe you're just missing Scully. Maybe she just watch the next episode.
I mean, she
and
is
see
the
how
best. She's the better. Yeah. She's awesome.
Shakespeare.
My microphone is currently sitting on a book of Shakespeare speeches.
Oh,
I like Shakespeare very much. I enjoy performing it. I enjoy watching it. I am not going to have anything anywhere near as insightful or academic to say, like, compared to our guests. And I'm not like trying to put myself down. Like, I'm just not.
It's always astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah. But that was an episode in particular. I was like, oh, these people are so good. Mm-hmm. Like, so wonderful, wonderfully insightful and knowledgeable. I really enjoyed listening and didn't necessarily feel the need to join in apart from agreeing emphatically when someone made a point that I was like, oh, I haven't thought of that before. Yeah, that's great. Which I probably did out loud in my kitchen. I don't know.
Yeah, that was absolutely one of the episodes where I was like, I feel like everyone here is so much smarter than me. Yeah. And like, and that's a really good place for me to... No, it's maybe more articulate.
I'd disagree with that as well. But maybe on that topic. I don't know.
Maybe. But it's okay. It's not a negative feeling for me. Yeah. It just means that I'm really impressed by them.
And enjoying sitting and listening to the lovely conversation they're having.
Yes. Yeah. It's like I'm sitting on the floor at the fireplace while some people who are very wise talk to me about things.
Yeah, that's a nice image. I get that vibe as well.
Ooh, board games, which... At time of recording, we haven't actually done yet.
No, we haven't recorded it yet.
What is your take on board games?
I love board games. I really would actually quite like to be in this episode, but I don't think I can be. So it's definitely going to be one where I'm sitting going, I want to talk. Oh my gosh. I love social deduction games. I love collaborative games. I adore One Night Ultimate Werewolf, which I haven't played for so long. Like, I will happily sit and play it all night, just over and over, go again. I love it so much. And I think it's because it has elements of improv in it, right? In a way where it's like,
yeah,
it's kind of between a board game and an RPG in a way, almost. Like, you don't have to
it's a really good like gateway.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And also there's logic there, right, which I also really enjoy, and I love just that puzzle. And it's short, like, you're like, this is just like a 10-15 minute game which I will play for 6 hours, it's fine. But there's like that lack of commitment as well, which I really enjoy. Things like Avalon as well, and Codenames.
Those are really fun.
Again, I feel like I would like to talk about this topic at length, but I actually think what it would end up being is me just listing all the games I like, which isn't really interesting, right? Me just being like, I love that game.
But it does give you a lot of recommendations.
Though actually, like, things like Dixit, I love games that give you an insight into other people.
Yes, me too.
And like your friends. So like something that's really lovely about Dixit is seeing... Have you played Dixit? I guess for
the audience,
just in case you haven't. Oh gosh, I have to remember how you play it now. You get these beautiful cards, which are just like beautiful pieces of art, basically. And you have to write a line of what that inspires in you.
Mm.
And then everyone else has to guess. You all put a card in from your hand, and then you read out what you were inspired to write, and then everyone has to guess which card they think it was that inspired you. So yes. it's like an insight into how your friends' brains work, really. Like, and oh, you look at that and you see this. Like, I look at that and I feel this. It's really, really nice. I played another game like that recently. It's called Wavelength, and it's really nice, like, little tool that you have where you spin this dial, and I can't remember if there are numbers, but for example, say there's a line that will go between, oh, it's from strongly agree to disagree, something like that, and then you get a topic. It almost gives you an axis, and you have to try and, with one sentence or one word even, convey to the other people where the line has fallen. So they have to know you.
Oh, so I know this one.
Yeah, it's great. One that we got was, so my axis was from unsexy Pokemon to sexy Pokemon. And I had to like get to my, over to my friends that it had landed on like an 8 or something. And my friend, and it was Grace actually, who was in the Shakespeare episode. She got it immediately. She was like, okay, it's there. That's where Laurie thinks. That's how sexy Laurie thinks Blastoise is, which was, you know, as far as Pokemon go.
Yeah, that's an all right like, one. That's an all right one.
Obviously, Incineroar is the hottest, but I was so upset when my cute little kitten turned into that giant man cat. But then I was like, all right, I'll take it.
Incredible. One of my favorite ones to play is Concept.
Ooh, what's that?
So you have all these cards and it's different. It's like people or things or concepts, like it's in the title, or words, basically. And you have this massive board with drawings that symbolize different things. So it's like, you know, a little, like a pink figure in a skirt for woman and blue figure in trousers for man, and all the different colors as like paint splotches and an arrow going up for like tall or high, and now going down for low or underground and stuff like that. So if on your card you have, say, Beyonce, you might put, you have all these tokens, so you might put a token on woman, real, singing.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Stuff like that. And then the other person has to guess who it is.
Yeah. That's almost like 20 guesses, but you just, like it's 20 or however many vague concepts to get to a thing. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like 20 questions, but like with indicators on like a little board.
Oh, I really like that. That sounds awesome.
It's really fun. It's a great game to play with a new date.
Yeah. Yeah, really get to into their psyche early on.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So last, Mass Effect.
I've never played it.
Mm.
Having listened to the episode, I wanted to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I hear there are hot monsters.
There are hot aliens. The line between alien and monster is very much your mileage may vary.
Mm. I enjoyed the gravity that you gave to that sentence.
It's an important distinction.
Yes.
good. But like, because obviously for me, like, both categories can be hot, but like, where an alien becomes a monster is different for everyone, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an interesting distinction, actually, the more you think about it.
I think for me, the vast majority of the people in Mass Effect are aliens rather than monsters.
But yeah, there's a really huge difference there, really, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, almost all of them are sentient.
Mm.
And some of them are sentient in really interesting ways, like the Geth have a hive mind, for example.
Ooh.
And that's really cool. Mm. Yes, I do think you should at least try to play it. But I don't know if shooter games is your thing, but I feel like the mechanics is worth the story because they're usually not my thing either.
Yeah, because we had this conversation at the end, didn't we? Like, the things that I have trouble with is I love huge open world games, but I'm not allowed to play them because I play them for too long. I hyper fixate and then, yeah. But from what I understand, Mass Effect is actually more linear than that, but you can go off. But it feels like it might be an open world.
There are lots of side quests, but you can't just go anywhere. It isn't limitless. You have your own universe and you have different solar systems that you can go between and look at all the different planets.
I just realised that I've been thinking of, like, I can't remember which one it is, but like Spider-Man. There's a Spider-Man game. I think the one before the Miles Morales one.
Mm.
And that's not actually open world. And I've been thinking of that as open world. Actually, yeah, that's very much my kind of game.
Yeah.
Because it's side quests within a limited map. But you can go anywhere within the map, but you have little quests and...
Yes. And there's always a point and a purpose and you can collect things and...
Oh, that's very my kind of game, actually, yeah.
Honestly, give it a go. Yeah. I think you'll like.
Hooray.
And that's all of the season two stuff.
Gosh.
And this is actually, like, this is as long as a normal episode.
Yeah, I was trying to go fast, but then I had opinions on things.
Well... Thanks for all your hot takes.
Thank you for having me. I feel like I talked a lot. I'm sorry.
Well, this is your episode.
Oh, yeah.
In many ways. Like...
the things I've been bursting to say.
Yes. And of course, in my opinion, you are also one of the best Rusty Quillers.
Yay. Thank you. I liked it when, I can't remember which episode you said, that the secret is we are all the best Rusty Quiller.
We are.
And
we
I like that. I've taken that to heart.
And I do mean it. I'm not sure where this is going to land in the break content, so I may or may not see you in the next episode, but I hope you enjoy it. Season 3 is on its way, and I'll see you in that for sure.
Yay! I don't know why I did that silently. I did a thumbs up instead of being like, yay!
I appreciated your thumbs up.
Huzzah.
All right then, shall we say goodbye?
Yes, let's.
Bye!
Bye!
Enthusiasm is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license. It is directed by Helen Gould, produced by Lori Ann Davis, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. This episode of Enthusiasm was edited by Maddie Searle and Kathy Ranella. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.